You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or in Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. Today's show brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar that I've ever had. Well, a lot has changed over the last week or so, as I spent most of last week talking about potential what-if scenarios in Miami Heat franchise history. Well, it looks like the league has moved forward. They're not concerned about what might have happened in the 1980s or 90s. Rather, they're looking forward to resuming basketball within the next month or so. At least that's the proposed timeline. It's all up in the air. I'll be 100% honest with you. Right now, nothing is finalized. But let's get into what we do know right now. The NBA has begun exploratory talks with Walt Disney World to potentially begin hosting live basketball games over the next few months or so. We're not exactly sure what that entails, when it would start, or what that means. Having actually covered basketball tournaments at the ESPN Wide World of Sports, I can tell you that it's a very... Well, it's a facility that is ideal for this kind of scenario. They have lots of different basketball courts there. They have a first floor, a second floor. They have lots of space there for basketball teams to begin working out and conducting games and things of that sort. So they can also hold multiple games at the same time. The stands aren't particularly big, but there won't be any fans anyway, so it doesn't really matter. There's also, of course, hotels and different things around in the area on the Walt Disney World campus that could house coaching staffs, training staffs, players, etc. We don't know about any details. We don't know if that means that players will be able to bring their wives, girlfriends, kids. We're not sure exactly whether or not teams are going to be able to bring their full traveling party. What we've heard is that that's going to be cut pretty dramatically. And we certainly don't know whether or not media would be allowed to cover these games. I don't anticipate that I would get a credential for that. Those would probably be very, very scarce and limited to just a few of the bigger names in the media industry. But either way, those are still details to be worked out. But right now, it does look like basketball is going to move forward, at the very least, at Disney World. Now, I know this is somewhat old news, but it's also changing daily, and nothing has been finalized. Right now, as of this recording, the head of the Players Association, Michelle Roberts, is reaching out to teams, kind of discussing what they want, what the proposed changes, rules would be as far as rolling out players and things of that sort. It's also possible that the league would move forward with just 16 teams in a playoff-type tournament. There won't be any need to play out the rest of the regular season. What we've heard in the past was that regional sports networks, or RSNs for short, in order to cash in for most of those contracts, require that you meet a 70-game threshold, meaning that they need to broadcast 70 regular season games in order to cash in on the majority of those contracts. Most teams have played between 63 and 67 games, with the Lakers having played the least at 63, and I can't remember, I think it was the Memphis Grizzlies who have played 67. So either way, you're between 7 to 5 games short, somewhere around there for the most part, with all 30 teams, of meeting your contractually established minimums to cash in on that money. But there's so much involved in trying to bring in all 30 teams into one facility, and to have 14 teams with really very little at stake. You have teams like the Atlanta Hawks or the Sacramento Kings or the Golden State Warriors. Those teams unlikely to do anything. The New York Knicks, let's say, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to play. What's the point of playing these games when you can risk injury? I'm sure a lot of the players would want to, but there's also very little that I'm probably, at this point, knowing that they've sat out the last few months, there's a good chance that they probably just want to cash it in and not suit up and not risk injury or anything like that. They can just dedicate themselves to playing next season. But there is also the possibility of a play-in tournament for teams like the Portland Trailblazers or the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans and Trailblazers were, I think, a game or a half game just shy of the 8th seed in the Western Conference. You have teams in the East, mostly teams in the West, that could compete for an 8th seed in the standings. And at this point, if they're able to play in and maybe surpass the Memphis Grizzlies, who currently hold on to the 8th seed in the Western Conference, they could gain a playoff spot. That's not been determined at this point. If you go on to listen to Locked On NBA, my former Locked On Heat co-host Wes Goldberg and I debated what would be the point of having all 30 teams in Orlando, whether or not any team should have a play-in tournament, things of that sort. We opened it up to, you know, the teams like the Phoenix Suns or the San Antonio Spurs or even the Sacramento Kings, who would love to have a playoff spot, but they're also about three or four games out of a eighth seed right now. So as far as the Heat are concerned, what the general consensus is that the NBA is moving forward with the possibility, the likelihood, that it'll just be a 16-team tournament with teams seeded 1 through 16 and not according to conference, because conference travel doesn't really play a factor. If all 16 teams are going to be housed on the Walt Disney World facilities, you don't have to worry about that. So you have teams ranked 1, the Milwaukee Bucks, through 16. Currently, I believe the Orlando Magic would have the 16th seed in the proposed tournament. The Heat, assuming that there will be no more regular season games played, that there won't be any kind of tournament or anything of that sort where potential regular season records will be changed or altered, currently hold on to the 8th seed. They're the 4th seed in the Eastern Conference. In this tournament, they would be holding on to the 8th seed. They would face the Oklahoma City Thunder with the 9th seed in the proposed 16-game tournament. This is currently how it's ranked as far as all 16 teams. You can see a graphic. I just go through it very quickly. The Heat would face the Oklahoma City Thunder in this proposed tournament, and then they would be in the same region as the 1 versus 16 matchup, which is Milwaukee versus Orlando. Theoretically, if Miami is able to advance past Oklahoma City, they would be able to face the Milwaukee Bucks, likely the winner over the Orlando Magic, and then they would be in the final four if they were able to advance past the Milwaukee Bucks to face the Clippers in another region, or the Lakers in another region, or the Toronto Raptors. Again, it's the 1, 2, 3, and 4 ranked teams as far as records are concerned. A lot of upsets, and that's what, you know, this makes this tournament so interesting, is that with all these teams laid off over the last couple of months, with so much kind of at stake here and this very, very short window to get ready, an upset could happen. So let's go into that schedule a little bit more, because that's also a big part of what's proposed, is that there will be a shortened schedule that is going to be implemented over the next few weeks or months. Again, none of which has been finalized, but at the very least, we can talk about that, talk about what that means for Miami and how that potentially could impact Miami standings in the proposed 16-team playoff format. So let's get into that next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. I wanted to talk to you about Built Bars, the best tasting protein bar that I've ever had. I just was blown away when we tried these products. They send out boxes of these bars to all of us on the Locked On Network, and we were able to taste different flavors and things of that sort. And let me tell you, this is absolutely something that I was blown away by. These protein bars are so good. Some protein bars, they taste like chalk, or the ones that taste particularly okay aren't good for you. But Built Bars taste like candy bar. They're all covered in chocolate, but they've got the nutrients that you're looking for. They're low calorie somehow, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. It's all right there. You can figure out. They have so many different flavors. 21 flavors right now, 16 flavors before when I first started getting the bars there. But they have a whole bunch of new flavors that I can't wait to try. They're so good for you, and they're easy to go. They're just a snack that you can take with you wherever you're going. If you need to, you know, go on the run, if you're, now that things are opening up a little bit, if you want to just grab a snack, you don't want to exactly cook a meal or anything like that, Built Bars are the right snack for you. My wife loves them. My family loves them. We've been so lucky to be able to explore these. And now you can do the same thing by going to BuiltBar.com. That's BuiltBar.com, and entering the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off a great tasting protein bar that's good for you too. Looking at the proposed schedule for what it might look like if the actual season resumes in Walt Disney World, at least that's the proposed trade. Right now, again, from the last time that we talked about this, there, current news about the league and what might happen with the league moving forward has been so up in the air over the last few weeks. And I know that I've been getting into different topics outside of current news and activity. Your best bet is, honestly, just like what I'm doing, is basically talking to players and coaches or trying to figure out what's going on in Twitter. There's not much as far as actual concrete information. But Grant Afsef, who covers the Pacers full-time, I think he's also pretty plugged in there with certain players, has released a potential timeline. At least that's what he was told was the timeline for return. Nothing's been finalized. Again, none of the big names like Woj or Shams Charania of The Athletic have confirmed or denied anything. Nobody really knows because so much is still up in the air. But what we're talking about as far as the proposed schedule is concerned is that training camp would begin sometime from June 20th, around there, and continue on to July 10th. and then there would be five regular season games from July 15th to the 23rd. The first round would begin the 25th of July. The second round would begin the 8th of August. Conference finals would be the 22nd through 5th, and then the finals would be played out September 7th through 20th. That's all up in the air, and it looks less likely now that that's going to be the case because Brian Windhorst of ESPN reporting that the 16-game tournament seems like a much more realistic option. The pros and cons of the 16-game tournament is you limit the number of teams that are going to be there, you limit the potential risk of injury for teams that don't have very much in stake, and you also can control who's on the proposed Walt Disney World campus. You limit the number of contacts that they have, the number of people that are going to be in a condensed, smaller area. And that makes a lot of sense. Basically, if you have just 16 teams, if you don't have the play-in tournament for teams like the San Antonio Spurs or the Portland Trailblazers or New Orleans Pelicans, you have just the 16 teams that are currently in the playoff race. And that is much easier to manage from a perspective of the league. If you have all 30 teams there, again, teams like the Golden State Warriors are at the bottom of the standings and don't have much to compete for other than, well, a pick or two or one, you know, somewhere some, as far as a top five pick is concerned. You double the amount of personnel that would be in this facility. That's way too much. It becomes unmanageable and somewhat pointless. So I think the league feels very comfortable that where they are right now, 65-ish games in, that's as close as it's going to get. The next 15 to 17 games would be a lot of teams tanking, throwing games, not playing superstars. If you're a team like the Phoenix Suns, let's say, somewhere on the cusp there, where they are five-ish games outside of a eighth seed in the Western Conference, if you're not going to make the playoffs, there's a good chance you're going to sit out Devin Booker. You've already got a number of players of injury. Why would you, you know, sacrifice your potential All-Stars health? Why not rest? You know, why take the risk and just rest them? That's likely to be the case. So you'll have other teams around the league doing the same thing. And so you get the product that's watered down. There's just no point. And so I can understand where the league's perspective is like, you know what? There are 16 teams that have something at stake here, which is a playoff race. Let's move on with just those 16 teams and let the other 14 teams kind of figure it out. Now, there's money. There's numbers to crunch. Lots of different factors to play in there, and we're not quite sure exactly what's going to happen. Again, the league is finding things out. The Players Association is finding things out. And together, they're going to propose some kind of a plan in conjunction with Disney World. And I've seen that relationship play out. Again, I've been there for the Junior NBA Global Championship, much smaller scale, but you've got a full-scale TV coverage. You've got the NBA already with an existing partnership with Walt Disney World, who the Disney World owns ESPN and ABC networks, so they can broadcast games much more clearly. There's a lot going on there, and that's why the Disney World facility, rather than say Las Vegas or an island somewhere, makes so much more sense. It's centralized, it's easy, you've got a relationship there that works, and a lot of it just makes sense. So we're not quite sure about how it's going to play out. Lots of details still to work out, but this seems like it's a most likely scenario. Now, as far as the Heat are concerned, they're in good shape. At least I think so. They're going to get their core of players back, the ones that were injured or even nursing smaller injuries like Jimmy Butler. You're going to get back Tyler Hero at full strength. Myers Leonard's going to be at full strength. All those guys, with the exception of Butler, who's already been working out from his California home, are in great shape and undergoing individual workouts supervised with social distancing at the American Airlines Arena. So you're going to get your full team, all 15 players, 100% and ready to move forward. Now, knowing that the Heat are the Heat, they're going to be in great shape. They're going to have their conditioning at a high level, and they're going to be prepared for this journey. Now, as far as the matchup with the Oklahoma City Thunder is concerned, they're a good team. They're a great team that has played defense particularly well. They've got a great closer in Chris Paul, a historically great player there. They've got some good depth there. They've surprised some people by being in the playoff race, but they've challenged Miami on occasion. I'll get into that matchup more over the next couple of weeks if the 16-game tournament is actualized and we can actually say the Thunder are the opponent that Miami's going to play. But I still like Miami's chances against the Thunder just because of their depth, because of their quality shooting and their defensive tenacity and things of that sort. And I think the hiatus can help a team like Miami. If you recall the last month or two of the regular season, Miami was struggling on the road. They were struggling with their defense. They were incorporating new players that they had gotten from the trade. They had also lost Myers and Tyler due to injury. And so there was a disconnect there from the version of the team that we had seen early on. I think they can be a much better version than we had seen over the last couple months. And if that's the case, I like their chances against the Thunder. Again, it's not easy. It could be a very good, interesting series. There's some good matchups there, but I like Miami's chances there. I'm looking forward to seeing Miami get past the Thunder and then take on the Milwaukee Bucks and potentially be able to challenge for one of the last four spots in the playoff tournament. As I've said before, I think Miami can beat the Bucks. I think every team is going to be somewhat behind. They're going to be struggling a little bit. Miami's probably a further ahead of the curve, not just because, well, they're in great shape, because they're in better shape than most of the teams in the league, but also because they're going to get some players back. We're going to see their team at full strength. And I think you're going to see a team that's much more engaged and ready for the next level, which is, you know, a potential championship. And I think they have the kind of versatility and depth and tenacity to beat a team like Milwaukee. Now, they have to get past the Thunder if they do wind up facing Oklahoma City, but there's some good matchups there, and I like Miami's depth and being able to challenge what Giannis Antetokounmpo can do and how effective he can be in any kind of game-type situation. So that's going to be interesting. I have to be honest with you, I'm a little concerned about the well-being of players first and foremost. I think this is a somewhat unnecessary risk. I'm almost of the mindset that they should probably just cancel the season. I've been pretty consistent about that since mid-March when we start to see the writing on the wall. But money has been dictating a lot of what these decisions have been made, and so they will continue to do so moving forward. From the league's perspective, they're risking losing millions, if not even more than $1 billion. And if that's the case, they want to recoup as much of that as possible. They will be the only active sports taking place over the next month or two. And if that's the case, they will probably get a lot of the attention of even your more casual viewers. And if they can just move forward with playoff intensity, I think you can get a lot of not just longstanding NBA or basketball fans, but you can probably get some new ones as well. It'll be interesting, and I can understand why the league is looking forward to moving forward with the playoff scenario. I'll get into some other things that are taking place around the league that could potentially impact Miami, not just this season, but beyond. You're listening to Locked On Heat. So one of the most useful apps I have on my phone is Blinkist. It's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more. And when you don't have that free time, you can't work on personal development. And that's why Blinkist is the right app for you. It's unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, your web browser, and it takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down to just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. I like using Blinkist when I'm driving around or when I just want to find something out about a topic I might not be familiar with. It's just so easy to download, to use, and to continue to search. Again, new titles, more and more books being added to the Blinkist library every day. You've already got tens of thousands of different options. And right now, if you go to Blinkist, you can get unlimited access to read or listen to this massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all for one low price. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and you save 25% off a new subscription. Go to Blinkist, that's spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial to get 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review, especially if it's a good one. So there's also been some proposed talk about changes to rosters, none of which have been finalized yet. With so much still to work out regarding the season, Bobby Marks, former general manager for the Brooklyn Nets, and now ESPN commentator, has proposed 8 changes that might be able to help teams moving forward. Because, look, not only are teams going to be losing a substantial amount of money, there might be revenue sharing taking place from the 16 teams that are going to be actively playing in the tournament, if the tournament is what winds up taking place, and that can share some of that money with the other 14 teams, but there's still going to be a substantial loss as far as the salary cap is concerned. By general revenue, you're not going to get fans anytime soon. Potentially not even next season. We're not quite sure what's going to happen. It's not going to be, you know, there's still so much to work out. But if there's no finalized vaccine, I don't know how many people are going to be willing to take chances to go watch games in the middle of the regular season. You know, a meaningless game against, let's say, the Charlotte Hornets. Why would you go and risk your life? So there's going to be some concerns about that moving forward. And then so Marks has proposed certain changes, one of which seems to get the most steam, which is the return of the amnesty clause. If you remember, their amnesty clause, it was included in the previous collective bargaining agreement. And basically, it was a one-time option for teams to use where they could take a player signed to a big contract, waive that player, and then stretch out the remaining amount of money of that player's contracts over the course of a few years. But that money won't count against the salary cap. And that's going to be a huge concern for teams, knowing that they're going to have a much smaller salary cap than they would because there's going to be a lot less revenue, which impacts not just this year, but the next, et cetera, et cetera. So the Heat are actually in pretty good shape. One, because, well, they most of their bigger salary cap problems have been traded away. Deion Waiters, James Johnson. You could look at a player like Kelly Olynyk and know that he has a couple years left on his contract, and maybe you're concerned about that, or rather one more season after this one on his contract, and that'll be an issue. Goran Dragic is a free agent. Myers Leonard is a free agent, etc. All the players that you currently have on the roster are in good place. Jimmy Butler is part of this team moving forward for as long as he wants it to be. They're not going to waive and stretch him, obviously. But other players around the league, names that you might be familiar with like John Wall, Blake Griffin, etc., that's where it starts to get a little interesting because these players signed to long-term deals where they're making a lot of money and teams might be out of the playoff run or maybe they don't necessarily want to pay these guys a lot of money. You could look at a Russell Westbrook maybe. That seems unlikely given his friendship and partnership with James Harden. Maybe even Chris Paul, the Oklahoma City Thunder, want to kind of cut ties with him. This will be enacted if it winds up being enacted next season, whatever that will be. Nothing's been finalized yet. Again, this is just a proposal, a suggestion being offered by Marks, but one that seems to make a lot of sense because teams are going to be looking for any kind of opportunity to cut costs wherever possible. I'm not sure what that's going to entail. Already, executives have taken significant pay cuts. Players are going to be losing some money. You're going to see a lot less of the fringe, you know, kind of things that the bells and whistles that you might be accustomed to are probably going to be cut out there. Maybe some changes, maybe like anything related to infrastructure improvements or changes to the arena and things of that sort are going to be put on hold because it's an expense that you can't really justify or afford. Look at the Heat. They just recently went ticketless, paperless, and put in all new kiosks around the front office, I'm sorry, the front doors to the American Airlines Arena. You won't be having any fans there anytime soon, so that kind of, it's a good thing they did that now or a year ago because they wouldn't be able to afford it or they might not want to spend that money moving forward. And so teams are going to be making those kind of wholesale cuts around the league and they're going to wind up having to cut players too. They're going to wind up having to pay less. And look, there's much more, many more ramifications than just the potential amnesty. You're going to be looking at teams not going after big name free agents, signing their existing free agents to less money with the salary cap with good reason likely to shrink. You're not going to have as much money to offer for players, and that's going to be a concern. Nothing finalized yet, but from the Heat perspective, could you add a player like Blake Griffin? You know, I mean, again, how the amnesty clause works is that they're cut, and then teams could potentially sign them if they're on waivers, but you're not going to want to add them to your team because, well, you're going to have to take up what's left of their salary, and you don't want to pay that, so there becomes unrestricted free agent if they clear waivers, and if so, then they can negotiate deals with other teams and become, you know, their team, their players. So, Miami has used the amnesty clause in the past, not just to cut players, but also to add players like Joe Johnson. Blake Griffin makes some sense as a power forward. You know, he has some floor stretching ability. He's a ball handler. He's a guy who needs a championship in order to, you know, finalize his legacy as one of the best players in NBA history, things of that sort. So many injuries have dogged his career. But there's also pretty substantial evidence that he might be a problem in the locker room. Maybe not the most mature guy. Maybe not a guy that everybody gets along with. I'm not sure that Miami would want to add somebody like that that could disrupt what seems like a very, very good team chemistry. Now you have John Wall, who's also making a great deal of money over the next few years of his contract. He's undergone a number of injuries. But if you can sign to a relatively cheap deal, whether it's Miami or any of the other teams in the league, it makes a lot of sense. And so that's an interesting option because obviously he's expected to recover fully. And if so, he can still add some, you know, depth to your team. He has some athleticism still, and he has some big game moments there. I think you'd want to add him for a team like Miami who sees themselves as a deep playoff contender. So John Wall, Blake Griffin, those are the names that are biggest there. I'm not sure how much traction the idea has, again, because we haven't really seen if the league is going to move forward with this. But it's an interesting one to kind of say, you know, play GM and say you could add such and such player. I'm just not sure. I'm still kind of hesitant about it. I was hesitant about the league starting up anyway, and yet here we are a couple months later, and it seems like we're likely to be playing in Disney World at some point soon. It's going to be interesting. You know, this is going to be a tumultuous time for NBA players, NBA fans, and the league itself. We'll keep you posted to the best of my ability. I'll be bringing you whatever news comes up, whether it's changes to the league or the CBA or the proposed amnesty clause. Hopefully I'll be able to cover games in Orlando, although I don't expect that to be the case. But either way, you know that this show is going to be there for you, giving you the latest information. Special thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring today's show. Make sure to check out Rejecting the Screen with Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko, as well as Chad Ford's Big Board, now both on the Locked On Podcast Network. That's it for today. You can connect with me on Twitter using the hashtag AskLLHeat or email me at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. I'm David Ramil signing off, and thank you, as always, for your support. Yeah!
Wrap it up, D.